listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, folks. Well, you know, I'm still a little upset with the last caller, not the last caller, but the lady that called last night trying to justify the riots by saying that the police in Cincinnati attacked a group of peaceful demonstrators that consisted of black, white, Hispanic, and a whole bunch of different ethnic and racial groups. And I've got to comment on that because it really bothers me that somebody would try to do that. It's absolutely incredible. In the first place, what she said was wrong. The riots started as soon as the black community heard that the police had shot the boy in the alley and that the boy was unarmed. And they continued off and on for days, and I mean days, for a long, long time. And even if, as the lady, you know, alleged, even if there had been a peaceful demonstration of multiracial and multi-ethnic people who were attacked by the police, how does that justify the black community just attacking people all through the city because they were white? I mean, it wouldn't even justify them if they attacked just black people. It doesn't justify any of that. You see, none of those people who were attacked, none of the businesses who had their windows broken and their stores looted and stuff like that, had anything to do with what that police officer did. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. Now, I was not commenting last night on the rightness or the wrongness of what the police officer did. You all know me. Over the years, I have taken a firm stance against police brutality, against SWAT teams and forceful entry and all of this Nazi Gestapo jackbooted thug crap bullshit that's going on in the police state that we live under today. Confiscation and sale of property with no charges being put upon the people whose property they took. They're doing some things today that even Hitler didn't dare do. These are Nazis. Make no mistake about it. My comments last night that prompted her call were about the rampant racial prejudice of the black community beating people who had absolutely nothing to do with what had occurred simply because they were white. And when they broke into stores and stole property and stuff like that, they didn't care if the store was owned by white, black, Hispanic, or whoever it was. They were just flat-out looters and thieves. Now, the Marxist socialist liberals in this country think that it's okay for minorities to behave in this manner, and because it serves their agenda to help destroy this country and destroy the Constitution and bring on the police state, as a matter of fact. And I'm telling you right now, it is never justified, no matter who does it. Whether it's white, black, Hispanic, Asian, I don't care. Native American doesn't make any difference. Racism is racism, and wrong is wrong. And there is no justification for that kind of behavior, ever. Ever. And it simply cannot be tolerated by anybody. And that's in one instance where I completely 100% back whatever the police have to do, short of murder, to bring it under control. But I do believe in the ages-old policy of shooting looters on sight. I do believe in that. Because generally, that's the only way to stop it once it gets out of hand. So if you're a looter, if you're one of these people who breaks into stores and steals people's property during a social breakdown like that, when riots are going on and stuff, I hope the police shoot you. I really do. And that's one instance when I back the police 100%. 100%. The police do serve a purpose. and when they're doing their jobs correctly, and when they're protecting and serving their community, rather than enforcing and swatting and militarizing, then I support them 100%. I support the law. As long as it's based upon the supreme law, the Constitution for the United States of America, and the Constitution of each state, whatever state you live in. Most of you still have never obtained a copy of your state constitution and read it. I find it amazing. And I find it absolutely amazing that somebody would call this broadcast last night, and I'm not criticizing this woman personally. She's probably a wonderful woman. If I knew her personally, I'd probably really like her an awful lot. She sounded like a nice lady. She sounded like somebody who cared. But she was way off base in her thinking and in her agenda in trying to condone what happened because, as she put it, a peaceful demonstration made up of multi-ethnic, white, black, and other people were attacked by the police. Sorry, babe. Don't cut the mustard. Nothing justifies what went on in Cincinnati. Nothing. Nothing. You see, that wasn't based upon opposition to tyranny. That was based on sheer, pure racism. See, if it was in opposition to tyranny, they should have attacked the police and only the police, not their fellow citizens. Their fellow citizens had nothing whatsoever to do with it, except they were white. Now, can you imagine how stupid that is? Being practiced by a race of people who have been fighting for years to end racism and discrimination. You see, they're hypocrites and they're liars. They're just as racist in many instances in their community as the Ku Klux Klan is in theirs. And that's what I fight all the time, because I absolutely abhor racism. I don't care who's practicing it. It's a plague upon the human race. And it must end. It must end. It must end. If it doesn't, there's going to be terrible consequences. And if you think that you're a racist and you want to do away with the other races and that you're going to win out in the end somehow due to your superior intellect or your master race status or some commandment by God or anything else, you're so full of crap, it's pathetic, it's coming out your ears, and it stinks. And you won't win. You'll just perpetuate warfare between races, you know, for as long as you have that attitude. And you've got some of the dumbest reasons for it, I got to tell you. And I don't care who you are, whether you're Asian, and there are some Asians, I got to tell you, that are worse than the Ku Klux Klan, although they'll look you right in the face and smile and bow and be so polite, you'll never know how racist they are, you know, until you really get to know them really well. I mean, it's just absolutely pathetic. And it can't be tolerated. It just cannot be tolerated. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Somebody trying to send me a fax. Nope, no faxes, folks. Don't take no faxes. Well, we're going to come back and open the phones. Tonight's going to be open topic. You can talk about anything you want to. You can talk about advanced shooting if you want to, if you're one of those kinds of shooters, if you're an expert marksman and you want to give people some tips. If you want to talk about what's in the news, that's fine. If you want to talk about Cincinnati, that's fine. Remember the rules, folks. You got to have an intelligent argument. You can be in opposition to me or anybody you want as long as you're intelligent and polite. And if you come on this broadcast to serve some agenda that is against this country, you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to dump you real quick if you violate any of those rules. So, don't go away. I will be right back, and we'll talk. Okay? Stay tuned. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America.
it's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens back in day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
Coming, folks. Democracy is coming. You better watch out. You might be a victim of your own thinking. How can you believe in freedom if you believe that your religion is the only one that should be practiced? How can you believe in freedom if you believe you're the only race that should have it? How can you believe in freedom if you believe that what you say is the only speech that should ever be heard? And if you don't believe in those things, you're certainly not an American. Not at all.
Wells of disappointment where the women kneel to pray for the grace of God in the desert, here in the desert far away. Democracy is coming to the USA.
Yeah, democracy, you better pay attention to that, folks. Democracy is when you get a majority of people who believe or think in one way and everybody else is persecuted. And if you're not one of the majority, you're one of the ones that can be persecuted, killed, murdered, deported, thrown in prison just because of what you believe in, what your religion is, what you think, what you say, what you read, what you look like, the color of your skin. You want democracy? You better watch out. You might get it. And I guarantee you, if you get it, you're going to hate it. Clinton was an example. His whole administration, we had 8 years of something pretty close to full-blown democracy. And believe me, it'll come back. Bush is just a little slow down, just to give everybody a breather. Remember,
it
was his father, George Herbert Walker Bush, who first mentioned the words New World Order since Hitler mentioned them.
Here they got the range and the machinery for change, and it's here they got the spiritual thirst.
And you know what he's done for you so far? He's made damn sure that this summer gasoline's going to be $3 a gallon minimum. Phones are open, folks. 520-333-4578. Going to take your calls all hour. It's open topic, open phones, open whatever you want. Open a can of worms. I don't care. Just be polite. Be, you know, if you disagree with something I or somebody else has said, be on point. Have a good argument. Don't be stupid about it. And we'll give you a full forum.
We'll be making money.
Say whatever you want.
We'll be going down so deep, the river's gonna weep, and the mountain's gonna shout, amen. It's coming like the tide of flood beneath the lunar sway.
Phones are open. Going to take your calls all hour. So get with it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. It's Ed up in Connecticut.
Hi, Ed.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
I've been listening to a militia station down in Kentucky, United Patriot Radio, And they've been every night in the militia hour from 10 to 11 while you're on. They also broadcast a list of all the state militias that they've been able to contact and give telephone numbers and, you know, contact things. I never heard anything about Arizona State Militia.
It's because we're not stupid.
Okay, I hear you. In other words, if it got too big, it'd be too easy to penetrate.
Arizona Militia went underground right after the Oklahoma City bombing, and that's where we're staying.
All right.
When they began demonizing the militias, we didn't talk to the press.
Yeah.
We no longer hold meetings in the open. We no longer announce our maneuvers or drills or training sessions or anything like that.
Yeah.
And we're not the only ones. The entire Second Continental Army, the Republic, went underground. So if anybody out there thinks that the militia has disappeared or the movement is going away or the liberals, you know, hurt them so much with all that bad propaganda,
yeah,
they're wrong.
Okay. All right. The only other thing I can say is that there is going to be a big militia conference out in Indiana. I think within either next weekend or no, it's 12th. Yeah, to the 12th. And the address or the people to call to find out about that is Steve Anderson at area code 606-379-6733. That may be of interest to people that want to find out about what militias are still above ground. Steve Anderson was raided 2 weeks ago by the BATF, and BATF just made monkeys out of themselves.
They always do.
Yeah.
They're nothing
okay.
But,
hey, guy, keep it up. I'm with you.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Yep, BATF is nothing but Nazi jackbooted Gestapo thug scum. Liars. Traitors. They're traitors, that's for sure. Murderers. 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 And subversives. Actively destroying the Second Article Amendment, which is a part and parcel of the Constitution for the United States of America. You want to talk about subversive organizations? You want to talk about war criminals? You see, we're at war today. We're at war against those who are trying to destroy this country and disarm the American people so they can have their one-world totalitarian socialist order. If you don't think we're at war, then you're not playing with a full deck of cards. So far, the war has been fought mainly with words and occasionally with guns. And it won't be too much farther in the future until the whole thing is going to be fought with guns. And we will win, and we will restore constitutional Republican government. So if you're on the other side and you think we won't, you better find a place to hide, because when the war breaks out and it becomes an acknowledged, above-board, overt war amongst patriots in this country and the enemies of this country, if you're one of the enemy, we're going to come and get you, and we're going to arrest you, and we're going to try you by a jury of your peers, and whatever sentence is handed out, we're going to carry that sentence out. You can bet your boots on it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Brian from up here in Cincinnati.
Hi, Brian.
Well, what you said about a year or so ago is coming true up here. They're using communists and outsiders to stir this stuff up here.
Yep, I told you that would happen.
Yeah, this isn't what the citizens is, you know, want. They found out that the people that did the looting and the ones that were arrested, over 80% of them weren't even from the downtown area.
Well, they'll have to be from the downtown area, but they're from the Cincinnati area.
Well, yeah, but they were from, like, northern Kentucky and up north of Cincinnati, and they were from all over the place. But they all came downtown to destroy that neighborhood rather than do it in their own. You know, it's just like you said, you know, just like,
yeah.
You know, Jesse Jackson was even threatening to rearrange his schedule so he could come to town.
Sure, but those are leaders.
Yeah.
The followers, the ones actually doing the dirty work, are people who live right there.
Yeah.
They're fools.
Yeah.
They follow these people who stir up the pot.
You know, there is a police state mentality, though, in the city with
traffic
stops and especially we have what they call an e-check here, where you have to have your car checked and certified before you can get a license for it. And if you don't have it certified or whatever, you can't get the license. So it ends up with more people driving cars without licenses or expired tags or whatever. That's what, you know, accelerates all this court system stuff.
Oh, yeah. They've got laws and rules and crap now. Nobody even knows what they are.
Yeah.
And we have to comply with stuff that nobody even heard of as little as 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah. Well, one of the young men that got killed in this, you know, unfortunate incident, he was pulled over, expired tags on his car. He didn't cooperate, you know, give him the license and all the registration that they wanted. He had his car in drive with the motor still running. They opened the door and tried to physically pull him out of the car. And then the car started going off by itself, and it hit another car, bounced back.
And so
another officer behind the car drew his gun and shot the guy through the back window of the car.
Yeah,
right next to his, I mean, his partner's right there. His partner got hit with glass.
Yeah, and also,
so he starts shooting too.
According to the law, if you're stopped for a traffic violation or expired plates or whatever, you do not ever have to get out of your automobile.
Well, I know that. And yet, the reason why that hit home with me is that almost happened to me one time.
They
and
shot him.
If I hadn't had my car locked, I might not be speaking to you.
They shot him because they have the Nazi jackbooted Gestapo mentality.
You know, I'm afraid it's got to the point, like you say, if I get stopped and I'm ordered out of the car, I'm going to have to defend myself with, you know, deadly force.
Yeah, well.
And
yeah.
I hate to have to do that, but, you know, it's one of those things that these people are doing it to us.
Me too. I don't ever want to have to do it either, but if I'm stopped and the policeman tries to arrest me, I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill him right there, right on the spot, and it won't bother my conscience a bit.
Well, that's, you know, that's the attitude.
If he wants to give me a ticket or something, that's fine. He can do that. But if he wants to haul me out of the car and arrest me or something, then I'm sorry, but that's, you know, he won't be going home to his family. So, and, you know, all this isn't going to stop until more Americans get the attitude that I have. You have to be willing to defend your freedom or you can't have it.
Yeah.
You can't be free if you're not willing to die for it. Which means you got to be willing to kill for it, too.
Yeah. And people will say, well, that's not a very Christian-like attitude.
Who gives
a... certainly wouldn't do that.
Who gives a damn what the slaves say?
Yeah.
Do you?
No.
I damn sure don't. I quit worrying about what people say about me a long time ago when I found out that most people are nothing but ignorant, stupid, slave mentality fools.
Yeah, they do whatever, you know. Suits and best or whatever.
They've been brainwashed. They don't have any brains. They
whatever can't. 75% of the people say in a survey.
Yeah, who cares? They can't think. They've never had original thought in their life. They have no idea what their country is. They have no idea what their rights are. And even if they did, they're a bunch of cowards and wouldn't stand up and defend them in the first place.
Yeah, well, they keep jumping up and down about the civil rights thing. You know,
there are no civil rights. Read
civil
the Constitution.
Rights for civilians and military occupied
No. Read the Constitution. It doesn't mention a civil right anywhere in it.
Right.
Period.
I know that. Civil rights come from civilian.
There are no civil rights. There are no civil rights. Stop saying they come from somewhere or they belong somewhere. There are none. Period. They don't exist. Except in a slave mentality.
Yeah, well,
it's like gay rights. It's like hate crimes. What do you mean hate crimes? You murder a gay... and you're supposed to go to jail longer than if you murder a non-gay? Murder's murder. It doesn't matter if you're gay or if you're black or if you're Hispanic or if you're a woman or if you're crippled or what. Murder is murder, and the punishment is for the crime of murder, not for murdering a gay person or a white person or a woman or a crippled person. There is no such thing as a hate crime. A crime is a crime, and all crimes must have the penalty for the crime. And this is just another way of dividing up society and making us angry at each other and pitting us against each other so that we can't be free and we can't concentrate on what's necessary to make life good for all of us.
Yeah. And they're even threatening to send up the FBI to do an investigation on the
The FBI has absolutely. The FBI has absolutely no jurisdiction.
Well, I know.
In Cincinnati.
Do you think we need the Butchers of Laco up here?
No, and they They have no jurisdiction there to begin with.
Yeah. Well, you know what I meant about the civil rights thing is that they make this.
There are no civil rights.
I know there's no civil rights.
Then get off of it.
Well,
the only thing that you or anybody else has to understand is there's no such thing as civil rights. If you don't believe me, read the Constitution. Now, if you want to give credence to it, if you want to lend it legitimacy, if you want to play around with it, then go right ahead, but you're hurting yourself. The only thing to say about civil rights is they don't exist. If you don't believe it, read the Constitution.
Well, I use it only as another proof that they have stolen our Constitution from us. They're not living by it. They don't let us go into a constitutional court and receive justice anymore.
That's correct.
You know, I've tried playing in the court system here in Cincinnati, and it's worthless. You know, so that's why I'm referring to that, is we have a de facto military government that's taking our rights, and they're taking our Constitution, and they're wiping themselves with it.
Well, they're not taking it. They threw it away a long time ago. And it's not a military government. It's a foreign government.
Yeah, foreign power.
That has nothing to do with the government for the United States of America as outlined in the Constitution. We're under some kind of foreign rule here.
Yeah. That's what I was driving at, I guess.
Yeah, but there are no civil rights, so get off that kick.
Okay. Well, that's what we got to convince everybody.
Well, you don't have to convince them
anything. Think about your constitutional rights. And then they say, well, I've never read the Constitution. Yeah, well, it's your fault, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. But you don't have to convince the sheeple of anything. They traditionally, when the buffalo chip hits the fan, they're the long lines of refugees. They're the dead bodies in the ditch. They're the beggars at the fork in the road. They're the dispossessed, the whiners, the criers. They're the ones who never fight for anything. They straddle the fence until somebody knocks them off. And so don't worry about them. Just worry about people who come to you and say, hey, I want to know what's going on.
Okay.
Help them. Don't just forget about the rest of them. They're not worth it.
Okay. God bless you, William.
You too.
Keep your powder dry, and God bless you.
Thanks.
Bye.
And thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, folks, there's no such thing as civil rights. There's creator-endowed rights, period. Period. That's it. If you live in a free country, you cannot be granted rights by government. You either have them granted by God or you're a slave. If government is in a position to grant you what they call civil rights, they're really privileges, which means that you have no rights, you have privileges, and government can grant them or take them away as government pleases, and that only exists when you're enslaved. It does not exist in a free country. In a free country, we all have creator-endowed rights. We all live under the law. The law treats every single person equally, period. That's the way it is. It doesn't matter whether you voted or not. I keep hearing people say all the time, did you vote in the last election? No. Well, then, you don't have any say in the matter. You gave up your right to have a say. You see, that's a democracy speaking. The truth is, in a constitutional republic, whether you vote or not, the law protects you equally like it protects everybody else. And voting cannot change the law. You have a right to vote, but you are not mandated to vote. You don't have to vote if you don't want to. And not voting is a way of protesting. And if you'll look at how many people in this country have stopped voting, it's got to be the biggest protest in the history of the nation. People are saying, we don't believe in the system anymore. We don't believe you're going to represent us. We don't believe our vote counts. We believe it's a waste of time, and so we're not going to do it. We believe that the outcome is going to be the same whether we go and vote or whether we stay home and don't vote. And you know, folks, they're absolutely right when they think that. Absolutely correct. Only difference between Gore and G.W. Bush is Gore would have taken us there a lot faster. And Bush is going to slow us down so his buddies in the oil business can make tons of money before world socialism takes over. And if you don't believe, if you think I'm full of it, you know, I've never been wrong about this stuff yet. If you think I'm full of it, just stick around and, you know, Watch what happens. Then you'll see. 520-333-4578 is the number. And we can take your calls for the rest of the hour. So stick around. You might hear something neat. Somebody might have something real cool to say. Number 520-333-4578. Taking your calls tonight till the end of the hour. Oh, by the way, folks, a week from tomorrow night we will resume our regular photography series. Not tomorrow night, but 1 week from tomorrow night. 520-333-4578 is the number. Taking your calls. Open topic. You can talk about anything you want to. And so can I. You're on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Cooper? This is Clifford from Alabama.
Hi, Clifford.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to you in a while. What do you think about the plane, the U.S. plane in China that they held? Do you think that might have been a version that they had a technology or something?
I don't know. I do know this, though. That crew on that plane is not ever supposed to let that equipment fall into enemy or foreign hands. Mm-hmm. And they did. Even if they all had to die, they should have crashed that plane into the sea rather than land it on communist Chinese soil.
And that plane is still there now.
It's still there now, yeah. If I'd have been in command of that plane, I would have died rather than let the communist Chinese have that plane. Hmm. There were other alternatives open to them, and even if they were threatened to be shot down, they should have ignored the orders of the communist China, and they should have either taken evasive action. They had every kind of electronic jamming equipment on that plane that they could have jammed everything on those communist Chinese fighters. They could have gone into cloud cover. They could have done a lot of things to get away from them instead of just going meekly and landing in communist Chinese territory.
There should have been some other areas around there they could have landed that plane. You know, some other islands or something.
Well, there are. They could have probably made it to Japan. I mean, the plane wasn't that damaged. If not, they should have crashed the plane into the sea and taken their chances with surviving. They could have had most of the crew bail out with parachutes and life rafts, and the pilot could have stayed on board and crashed the plane into the sea. I would have done it.
And at the Navy pick up what survivors there were.
Yeah, I would have done it rather than allow the communist Chinese to have that technology. Just think of the crypto codes that they obtained.
Yeah, it's a considerable amount of technology, isn't it?
Yeah. All of it, top secret.
I bet. All right, sir, you take care. I hope things go well for you.
Thank you.
Talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's like in Vietnam, folks. If my boat was in danger of being captured, I would have run the boat on the rocks. I would have blown the boat up myself. I would have placed thermite grenades on all of the everything, and I would have destroyed my own boat rather than let it fall into the hands of an enemy that could have used it against the other boats on the river or against our home base. My boat had unbelievable firepower. It was something the enemy could have used to really do some damage. I would have died before I would have let them have my boat. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
Yeah, I used to live in Las Vegas. I live in Iowa now, and I saw you on a show with, I thought it was John Lear and Mr. Lazar, who worked up at Area 51. whatever happened to Robert Lazar? I've never really heard much about him the last few years.
I have no idea. And I was never, ever on a show with Robert Lazar, ever.
Maybe it was just with John Lear, and maybe they talked about Robert Lazar.
I was on one television show in Las Vegas with John Lear. It was a show that George Knapp had. And I never talked about Bob Lazar, but I think that that John did.
Yeah, I think John did, yeah, because I remember seeing you with John, and I remember reading things about Robert Lazar and his work up there, and just never really heard much about it. What's John Lear do these days? Is he still making planes and things?
I have no idea. No, he doesn't make planes. He never made planes.
I think it was his father, wasn't it?
His father owned Lear Corporation.
Yeah, that's right, because I remember it was 10 or 12 years ago, but I've read your book, was it Beyond the Pale Horse or something?
Nope. It was Behold a Pale Horse. I'm amazed at how many people read my book and don't know the name
of
it.
Yeah, I read it about 7 or 8 years ago, and then I went out and got Ominous Parallels after that and read it, and I thought they're both just excellent books talking about what's going on in this country. And it's really amazing, too, that after reading Ominous Parallels, seeing these things continue to happen that are happening to us. And
Peikoff knows what I know. Socialism is Nazism. Hitler was a socialist. The left wing in this country likes to pretend that it's the right that's oppressive, but that's not true. It's always the left. It's always socialism and communism that oppresses. Dictatorships lead into that stuff or result from it. They don't come from the right. The right is the right always wants less government. If you go way to the far end of the right, they don't want any government. They're called anarchists. Anybody who believes that there's a scale that has communism on the left and Nazis on the right is crazy. Scales measure opposite extremes. On the right, you have total anarchy, which is the total absence of government and control. And on the left, you have complete ownership and control and enslavement of everybody and everything. That's called communism.
I read a book I got from the library at some time last year, and I don't remember the author, but it's called The Two Faces of Janus. And the author, what he did was he compared communism to socialism and said essentially they're the same thing. And just what you said, that the people that were trying to say that Hitler was all the way to the right and the communists were to the left, they were wrong. They're all the way to the left because the atrocities and things they committed and the way they took people's rights away from them and they oppressed everybody was exactly the same. And his reasoning was, because of that, how could he be to the right? Look what he did to these people.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. But but Marx and Lenin and Castro and Stalin and Mao, all of them said that democracy is indispensable to socialism, and the ultimate goal of socialism is communism. So first you got to get the people into a democracy, and then that's got to proceed into socialism as the majority votes themselves the whole treasury, and that's what results in socialism, and then socialism spins right into a dictatorship and becomes communism. That's the way it works. Hitler was a socialist. That's what Nazi means, national socialism.
Yeah.
socialized Germany.
Yeah, that was just really incredible reading that Peikoff's book. And I bought another book by him. I don't remember what it was called. It was on philosophy. It was from a place called Second Renaissance Books, and I don't have their phone number right available, but I bet they're on the internet. And they sell books on a lot of Ayn Rand type things, but a lot of their books are basically about objectivist philosophy. But not only that, but about how people's individual rights are just getting stomped on it, just getting liberties taken away from them.
That's because they don't have the guts to stand up and protect it. You see, if you're not willing to die for freedom, and if you're not willing to kill for it, you can't have it. It cannot be yours. Because somebody will always come along and put a gun to your head and say, bow down and kiss my feet, you're going to be my slave. And if you're not willing to say no, shoot me, then you're going to be a slave. If you're not willing to get that gun out of his hand and turn around and shoot him, you're going to be a slave. I mean, that's all there is to it, and that's just the law of nature.
And my father-in-law, he died in January, and he was 75 years old, and he fought in World War II and in Korea. And I really didn't know a lot of military people. I grew up on a farm and around farmers, and when I started going out with my wife and whatnot, and I talked to my father-in-law, and he volunteered to go to both World War II and Korea, and I asked him, well, why did you volunteer to go? And he says, well, I want to be able to live where I want to be able to live, eat the food I want to be able to eat, drive down the street, drive anywhere in the United States I want. He goes, those people wanted to take our rights away from us, and if we didn't go and stop it, it could have came to this country, and inevitably, he goes, you could be speaking German today if we didn't put an end to it. Mm. I thought that was very well put on his part, I guess.
Well, it's true.
But, yeah, it was...
But that same generation, the generation that, that they now call themselves the greatest generation, well, they weren't. They were for a while. And then they became socialists. They said, we fought the wars, and now we've earned the support of the government. We've earned Social Security. We've earned Medicare and Medicaid. And we want all these socialist programs and, you know, fund our schools. And they gave their children into socialism. And that, we're fighting that battle now because they screwed their children and their grandchildren. And that's the truth. And they're going to get all mad about it. And, we fought World War II. How dare you say that about us? I say it because it's true.
Yeah,
you sold your children and your grandchildren out. And if you don't want to admit it, that's tough. There are those of us who know it, whether you admit it or not.
What do you think it's going to take to get people in this country to get the type of mentality that somebody does not owe them something, that they need to go out and try to earn it themselves?
Well, there's a lot of us who already have that mentality. Nobody owes me a thing.
I mean, there's a lot of people, I think, that well, would you agree there's a lot of people that think that somebody owes them something?
Yeah, most people.
Yeah,
They think somebody owes them everything.
Yeah, I just don't understand where they're coming from, you know. But, I wish that shows like yours and other shows that are similar to yours that I hear on shortwave were available on regular talk radio. Like Limbaugh, he's entertaining to listen to, but he's full of baloney. And I think most people that have a rational mind realize that. But why don't they put the good shows on talk radio? And then I started thinking about that. Well, you know the reason why is they're scared of the good shows.
That's right.
They're telling the truth. They
That's
don't
right.
want that to get
That's
out
right.
there.
That's right.
They have armed uprisings in the streets if people actually could figure out what was going on in this country.
Yep, you got it.
Hey, great show. I'll keep listening. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Yeah, and Rush isn't going to tell them. That's for sure. How many times have you heard Rush say, hey, I'm not in this for the truth. I'm not in here to make things right. I'm here for entertainment. This is entertainment, folks. This is entertainment. I'm here for the money and the ratings. And if I thought I could get bigger ratings and earn more money by propounding the socialist point of view, I'd do it tomorrow, starting tomorrow. I've heard him say that at least twice over the years. And he means it. He means it. And yet all these people out there, they hear him say that. Goes in one ear and out the other, and they still think that he represents them as a voice in the media. He doesn't. He doesn't. Gosh. He represented and supported NAFTA and GATT, which are going to take away our borders. Took away most of our industry. And he's on our side? He's supposed to be an American conservative for Americans? Huh, don't you believe it. Rush Limbaugh's for Rush Limbaugh. And whatever will get Rush Limbaugh whatever he wants, which is lots of money, lots of fame, lots of ratings. That's what it's about. And the minute he stops doing that, his ratings will go down. He'll lose his affiliate stations, and he'll be on shortwave with me because they won't permit it. And he knows that. So he's willing to sell out rather than, you know, do what I'm doing or what some others are doing. 520-333-4578 is the number. It's your turn to call, whoever you are. It is right now. Open topic, open phone, whatever you want. Good evening, you're on the air.
evening, Bill. How are you?
Good.
I was listening to you the other night talking about tuning your ammunition to your rifle.
Yeah.
And that's a very difficult process.
It is. It's trial and error, and you just got to keep at it until you get the best cartridge load with the best bullet with the best primer that gives you the smallest group at whatever range you want to zero at.
Yeah, it's pretty tough, and I've got a lot of rifles, so I'm always playing with them, trying to get things tuned properly. And I ran across an alternative solution some time back from Browning. And I really liked it because I think it'd be something that would be easy for, you know, a novice shooter to do. Basically, when you're tuning your round to the rifle, you're reducing the whiplash of the barrel. And what they've done is they've come up with a compensator that you dial in the barrel to the round that you're using. And it reduces your shot groups down very similarly. Now, I don't think there's any substitute for first coming up with a very good round.
Well, you have to because that's not all of it anyway.
Exactly.
Just the wrong primer doesn't matter whether you can tune the barrel or not.
Yeah.
The wrong primer will cause either too fast of ignition of your powder or too slow ignition of your powder, and that will cause your bullet to fly.
Yeah. This does make it a lot easier, though, because it takes about half the work out of it, which also takes half the fun out for a real shooter. But for somebody who's, you know, just trying to get started, it's a real nice little device.
Well, doesn't Browning just put that on their rifles?
Yeah, I believe that's about it. I don't think that you can buy it for other rifles, although you might be able to gunsmith it.
And it's only on some of their rifles, am I correct?
Yeah, the 7mm mag is their big seller with that particular device.
Okay. Oh, by the way, somebody asked me the other night if 7mm would be a good cartridge for long-range shooting. And I said no, because it's got to have the force when it gets downrange at 600 or 700 yards. And I wasn't considering the like the 7mm Ultra Mag.
Well, I believe a friend of mine that uses one says that he took it out to Wyoming and he had about 6 feet of drop at 700 yards.
Impossible.
That doesn't sound right?
Absolutely not right.
Do you think it ought to be more?
Well, work it out on a table.
Okay.
Work it out on a computer program and you'll see that that's baloney.
Yeah, I'm not shooting a 7mm, but that's what he was telling me. I don't know.
Absolutely wrong.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Bill.
It's going to be a lot more than that. You're welcome. 7 feet of drop. Is that what he said, 7 feet? I think he said 7 feet. No, that's wrong. 700 yards can't possibly be right. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Southwestern Pennsylvania calling.
Hi.
Talking about sniper rifles, I've got a bargain sniper rifle that I've made.
Let's talk about long-range rifles. I don't even like that name, sniper. It means a cold-blooded paid killer who has no conscience and no feelings whatsoever. He just goes and kills whoever he's told to go and kill.
Yeah, I can understand where you're coming from.
Those people in my book are the most worthless people on the face of this earth. They're nothing but murderers.
I understand where you're coming from. I've put together a bargain 303 Brit at Enfield.
Mm-hmm.
And all I did was buy a synthetic stock for it, free-floated the barrel, off-the-shelf scope and rings, mounts.
Mm-hmm. And so far, you can do all that stuff yourself.
Pardon me?
I said, so far, you can do all of that stuff yourself.
Yes, you can do it all yourself. And I have bought the surplus ammo, military, I guess it's military surplus.
Usually is.
And
especially if it's 303.
It seems to be pretty consistently loaded. I'm not a reloader. I just want to get it out there to people that you can do this without having to be a reloader. And
that was the whole point of my last four or five broadcasts.
Yeah.
you don't have to do anything custom. You don't have to be a reloader. You can do it.
I haven't even taken it. Well, I did have it. It was a surplus. It's a late 40s manufacturer. And I had a gunsmith check it out, make sure it was, you know, wasn't dangerous to fire or anything like that. Everything, the lands in the barrel, everything was good. The bolt and the action was good. And
well, they're Mausers, aren't they?
He said it was a real strong action. I think he did say it was based on a Mauser action.
Yeah, I think they are.
And
main consideration with something like that is always going to be the chamber and the bore.
Yeah, I guess they're notorious for having a pretty large. They allowed for a lot of headspace. You know, since it's a battle rifle, basically, I guess if you're going to be loading dirty cartridges in there in like combat conditions,
mm-hmm.
they allowed for that. But this one seems to be pretty good.
Well, you can take that to a gunsmith, and you can tighten up the headspace.
Yeah.
And it doesn't cost that much.
One
other thing that I would do, if I were you, I would take it to a gunsmith, absolutely, and have the muzzle crowned. I'd have a target crown put in the muzzle.
That's where they finish off the end of the...
Yeah.
I already had that done.
When the bullet leaves the end of the muzzle, it leaves the end...
Yeah, precisely.
Precisely, rather than one side first, which will cause the bullet to veer left, right, up, or down.
Yeah, I had that checked out. And that checked out good. The only little custom thing that I did to this thing was make sure that I lessened the trigger pull on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not, you know, squeezing so hard.
Yeah, if you know, a lot of manufacturers make, when you first get a rifle off the shelf, it'll have between usually a 4 to 6 pound trigger pull.
Yeah.
That's way too much.
Right.
You should get it down to at least 3. I prefer 2.5. Some gunsmiths won't go below 3 because they claim it's unsafe. If you're a good shooter and you know how to use the safety and you know where to point your rifle and you don't screw around,
right.
There's nothing wrong with a 2.5 pound trigger pull. And you're not going to have a round chambered unless you're ready to shoot. You're not going to point at anybody unless you want to kill them.
Exactly.
You know, so their argument is moot. What they're trying to do is keep from being sued if they do give somebody a 2.5 pound trigger pull and they do something stupid and kill somebody and then try to blame it on the gunsmith. It's just part of this lawyer thing in this country where everybody sues every time they do something stupid.
Right.
If you kill somebody, it's not your gun's fault. It's not your gunsmith's fault. It's not the manufacturer's fault. It's your fault.
Everybody's sue crazy these days.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to take responsibility for their own actions.
That's right.
You don't want that trigger pull to where you're jittering, you know, pulling it.
Well, you don't ever want to pull it. That's the problem.
Exactly,
you want to squeeze it. But after you've been sitting there practicing breath control and you take that last breath and you let half of it out and you're still squeezing while you're turning blue in the face, you got too much trigger pull there.
Well, this thing does well. We're in sort of hill country here. I have it zeroed at 200 yards. And, you know, the ranges you're talking about, just, you know, you'd be shooting into the side of another hill here. We're in the foothills. And
well, if you're in hill country where all you have is hills and gullies and hills and gullies,
right.
The only place you could do long-range shooting was from hilltop to hilltop way far away. You're kind of wasting your time on that. Because
I have it. It does well. My capabilities, well, I'm around 50, and my eyes aren't that good anymore. But at 500 to 600 yards, it does well. Now, you're not going to drive dimes with this thing, believe me.
Not going to drive dimes with anything off the shelf.
Exactly.
That's the reason why I was teaching the method that I was teaching.
You're going to fall within that zone you're talking about almost every time.
That's right.
And you can do it for under $200.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, now, if you buy a good scope, that may not be true.
Well, this scope I bought was used, but it was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it for like $60. It's a 3-9.
Yeah.
And,
see, in my estimation, if you can keep the whole total package down below, down below $1,000,
yeah,
for a brand new rifle and a brand new scope, then you've done real good.
Oh, definitely, if you're talking brand new stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. When you go buy somebody's used rifle, it's like buying a used car.
It,
Your life is going to depend upon your rifle.
Yeah, you have to check it. You have to check it out and make sure everything's going to be A-okay.
That's right.
But at least people will know that. Well, you can do this on a shoestring.
Yes,
if you have to.
That's true. And when we're talking about new equipment, $1,000 is a shoestring. If you're talking used equipment, then you're talking anywhere between $200 to $500.
Yeah.
But you better take it to a good gunsmith and have them check it out before you pay a nickel for it.
There's any number, I guess, any number of surplus military rifles that you can get for bargain prices if you shop around.
Yeah, but you got to be careful because nine times out of ten, the bore's shot out.
Well, hey, I'm going to let somebody else get in here.
Well, we're out of time, so you're the last caller. Good night.
We'll see you now.
Thanks
for
calling. That's it, folks. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. Don't miss tomorrow night's broadcast. Good night, Annie Quinn Allison. I love you. Listening to The Hour of the Time with yours truly, William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. Don't miss tomorrow night's broadcast.
I've seen the nations rise and fall. I've heard their stories, heard them all. But love's the only engine of survival.